I want to tell this story just to give you a bit of an example of how sometimes God talks to us. I don't want it to be my story. I'm praying to the Lord that it's His story. I want it to come from here, not from here. And I had to learn that. When I was growing up, I lived in Northam. Had loving parents. They were well respected around town and had good jobs. Mum used to go to church. I went to church with her till I was about 11. And I told her I wasn't going anymore because I didn't understand it, just didn't make any sense. Now, I believe all parents do the best they can do bringing up their kids with the information they've got. But in our family, and it was a thing of the day, that little boys were seen and not heard. So we weren't encouraged to talk very much. So I'm trying to make up for it today. I was kicked out of school when I was 15 for being too disruptive and told to go and get a job. I had to repeat my English exam so that I could get my Year 10 certificate. I started an apprenticeship as a sheet metal worker and I moved down to Perth living with my auntie and uncle, where I soon found that if I got some alcohol into me, I could talk to anybody. I didn't realise it, but I was on a fairly slippery slope. So I finished my apprenticeship, moved down to Bunbury down south, and I started working construction at Wagerup and Worsley. Down construction, you're probably all aware, the money's pretty good. So back in those days, I was in my early 20s, it was just one big party, that's all it was. Everybody had lots of money, so we just partied hard. While I was down there, I got involved in the drug trade. I was growing, selling and using marijuana, and I was associating with the Coffin Cheetah motorcycle gang. I'd hurt people to get my own way. I'd steal things. And this lifestyle went on for about 10 years. But during that time, I did a bit of time in Bunbury Regional Prison for my troubles. Moved up to Karratha. Construction finished down here. The Burrup Peninsula was about to start, so we moved up to Karratha and to start on the gas plant. And Karratha back then wasn't the place you wanted to be if you wanted to dry out, because it was even worse than down south. Karratha, per head of population, had the highest income in Australia. So the partying was even harder. So my drug and alcohol abuse lifestyle just continued. After about being up there for 12 months, myself and my girlfriend decided to get married, so we came down here and got married. And while we were down here, some friends of hers, just out of the blue, I couldn't understand it, got us aside and said, we'd like you to teach you some business skills. So I thought, oh, well, check it out, see what's going on. So we're back up in Karratha, and I started following what they were telling us to do. We had to learn things like body language and all that sort of stuff, and we were going through a bit of a situation. We were thinking about having kids, and I certainly didn't want my kids doing what I'd been doing. So I had to pull my head in a bit, so I thought it might be worth listening to these guys. So I used to, myself and some other people, we'd finish work on a Friday afternoon in Karratha after doing 50-hour week. We'd drive down to Perth Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, go to a seminar Saturday, Sunday morning, drive back to Karratha on Sunday, start work on Monday. Round trip of about 3,000 kilometres, just over 3,000 k's. And I'd do that every couple of months. So that's how much importance I put in this information that I was learning. I'd never come across it before. Later on in life, I said to my mum and dad, why didn't you teach me this stuff? They said they didn't know it. They just didn't know that it was available out there. So while this was going on, the Burrup was still early days. There was a lot of dust and gravel, and you know, there wasn't what it is today, obviously. And you'd just have to sit around waiting sometimes for material and whatever. And one day I was sitting down reading an old trashy magazine, People magazine. Some people might remember. I don't know whether it's around now. Anyway, back then it was just a good laugh. So I'm reading this story about an Asian hitman over Asia somewhere, and he was telling his story about how the people he'd murdered. This, and had a picture of him. He was bald head. I don't know what that means. He was a tough-looking bloke, just real scary-looking bloke, tats all over him, scars all over his face and his head. I'm reading this story, and he went on to explain how he's in a dark alley one night and he's about to do this bloke in, and then just bang, this flash of light, and then he explains how he had this meeting with Jesus Christ. And just after that, he became a Christian. So I'm thinking, oh yeah, good story, bit of a laugh, just a typical trashy story in the People magazine. Just didn't think anything of it. But a few days later, we're due to come back down to Perth for another seminar. Now, we started to have a bit of success in this business, so we're invited to go to a leaders' function. And at this leaders' function, they were going to teach us a bit more advanced stuff. Yeah, they were sucking us in, that's what they were doing. Anyway, in this function on the Saturday morning, they were saying things like, if you really want a good, well-balanced life, you've got to address all different areas of your life, like your family, your career and all that sort of thing. And if you focus too much on any one area, your life isn't going to be running too smooth. So they mentioned these things, and then they said, you also got to address the spiritual side of things. I thought, that's it. I'd come from a place where if I was staying in a hotel, there was a Bible in there, I'd pull it out, tear it up and throw it in the bin. They were sending me books to read in Karatha, and if God was mentioned once in those books, and just about all the books had God mentioned once, I'd tear them up, throw them back. Throw them in the bin, get in the phone, ring these people, abuse them, tell them not to send me any of that crap ever again. The books kept coming, I kept reading. Anyway, back to this seminar. He's saying, you've got to address this spiritual thing. And it just so happens that some of us are going to Rhema Church. Why don't you just come along? It's now Riverview Church. Why don't you come along? So I think, well, so far they haven't led me astray. Under sufferance, I go along on a Sunday morning. And church was totally different to what I expected. You know, what I'd seen from when I was 11. People seemed to be enjoying themselves. It was a fun place, a bit like this. Music wasn't too bad. And not all the people were old, which I thought was great. So things are going all right. And then they introduce a guest speaker. I think I'm being stitched up here. This guy comes out on stage, and it's this hitman that I was just reading about in the Burrup, 1,500 k's away. Now, that magazine that I was reading was an old issue. It wasn't even the latest issue. I just picked it up. I just found it. So I come across it and I'm reading this thing. Out of millions of people that could have been standing on that stage as a guest speaker, who stitched me up with this bloke? He's exactly the same as his picture. He's got tats all over him, scars, bald head. And he told the story exactly how it was written in the book. So about 4 weeks after that, myself and my wife got baptised at Hearson's Cove and on the Burrup Peninsula. So that was the start of a new life. And things were going pretty good. We kept doing some learning from these business people. They were saying things like, nothing changes unless you make it change. If you don't like what's been going in your head, you're not where you are, then put something else, put something different in your head. So they kept chipping away, and this happened before we got baptised also. And, you know, this, they were actually very sneaky. They just were putting these godly principles out to us that we're learning. Can't trust business people. Sought not to judge people. You know, and this was huge because automatically it's human nature to look at something, somebody or something, and instantly you've got this picture of, you categorise them. So I had to learn not to do that. You know, we talk about not judge a book by its cover, but we do, it's just automatic. We can't, especially with people. Is everything we learn from when we're this big, everything that goes in here and here is stored in here, never goes away, is stored in there. So if we'd been through, I look at some of the horrible people that we hear about. We look at those people and think, you just have to feel sorry for them. What has gone in here and here from when they're this big to get them to do the stuff that they're doing? So I had to change my whole outlook on people. And it was tough. It was really tough. I had to keep practicing and practicing it. And I had to learn to be successful, multiply my time, and that meant allowing other people or picking the right people for a particular job, allow them to make mistakes, all that sort of stuff. And just because I thought my idea was the best idea wasn't necessarily the best idea or the best way to do stuff. You know, the world tells us that the world I was coming from, work hard, which I did. I was taught that as a kid, work hard, save up, buy a house, buy another house, buy another house, and then buy all this stuff. And that's what's fed into us on the idiot box. That's what the world teaches us. And that's how you become selfish, so I had to learn not to be selfish. It got to a stage where I was organising functions in Karratha for 200 people and I'd speak at these functions without the aid of alcohol. So life was pretty good. It wasn't bad. Then, probably only 12 months after we'd got married, things started to go real bad. I was diagnosed with manic depression and then bipolar disorder. Over the next 15 years, I saw about 10 different doctors, 5 different psychiatrists, and none of the wise men could figure out why I wasn't responding to their. So I was going downhill rapidly. I caused our marriage to end in divorce. I was in and out of work. I'd get a good job, work for a while. Usually in construction, fly in, fly out. I had jobs, well, earned $4,000 a week up in Karratha, up in the north. I had a job in Kwinana, I was earning $6,000 a week. I had a job in Boddington Gold Mine. I was living on the 18th floor of the Sheraton Hotel in a suite for 3 months, all expenses paid. And they were still paying me $4,000 a week. But it just... And I just thought, that's what you got to do. That's what you do. But all this time, I was going up and down. I'd have a good job, and then I'd crash and just not be able to work. I was an absolute mess. So I was only working half the time, maybe a third of the time, and then the rest of the time, I'd be sick. So this went on for 15 years, this roller coaster. I'd want to walk down this park here and throw a rope over a tree. I remember one day on a construction site at Smoko, I was on the 6th floor of this building and I had to bear hug the steelwork to stop myself leaping over the edge. but I didn't know anything different. But all this time, I just couldn't stop reading my Bible or going to church. And most of the time I was a mess. I see some old blokes over here that went through some of it with me. It was all about me. I was reading this thing in the Bible, seek my kingdom first and all this other stuff would be given to you. And I thought, I'm crying out to God. I'm reading the Bible, I'm going to church, I'm trying to become a good person. What else can I do? Nothing. So my life was sick, work, virtually no social life. One day when I was going to the Bull Creek Church of Christ, I got the date somewhere, it's in June 2005, I think. One night I had this dream about when I was a little kid. I used to love going out mushrooming into the farming areas, and I didn't like mushrooms, I just liked playing with my pocket knife. But I used to really enjoy it. I think I was about sort of 10 back in Northam. Had this dream, and I very rarely, I don't know that I dream. I certainly don't remember dreams the next day. But the next morning, it was just really vivid and weird. I thought, why do I remember such rubbish like that? You know, that was just a long time ago. Anyway, it was actually the next day I was off to church at Bull Creek, and I've got written in my notes back then that the pastor was actually talking about different ways that God talks to us. I thought, oh, yeah, good sermon. And after church, I had some things that I had to do or thought I had to do. And I'm walking out of the church and I just get this overwhelming desire. I've got to go mushrooming. Can't do the stuff that I thought I needed to do. Thought, oh, well, I'll go home, get changed, get out of my good clothes. You can see I dress smartly for church. But I got in my car and I couldn't drive home. I used to live out in Southern River, and there was, before all the houses were out there, there was some farming area that I used to walk to during the week when I wasn't away working. And I was just forced. All of a sudden I was there. I can't remember driving there. I don't remember it. I get to this spot, park my car. I thought, oh, well, I'm going mushrooming. Get my pocket knife out of the glove box, climb through the fence, and I start trudging through this muddy field. It's all wet. It's middle of winter. And when I start walking to this field, I start to get this thought in my head that there was some money buried under a bush somewhere. And I'm led over to these bushes and I start fossicking around under these bushes. And it's just this powerful, somebody's buried some gold or done a bank job or something, they buried some money under there. And I'm getting all excited. I thought, you little beauty. But I'm having a look under these bushes. There's nothing there. And then that thought just disappears. Another thought comes into my head that there's a dead body out there. I thought, oh no, I'm starting to get a bit concerned. Do I have to do a runnery or what, you know? So I'm led over to these other bushes. I'm searching around like this. No, there's no dead bodies. Well, I couldn't find them. And then that just disappears. And then I'm just guided down alongside this irrigation channel. And every step is just guided. I just didn't feel like I was in control. Well, I wasn't in control. About 100 metres down this irrigation channel, across this fallen tree, across over the other side. And over on the right-hand side, there was a big bit of green bush area off the edge of the farming paddocks. And I could, as I was walking towards it, I can see inside there was a bit of a lake in there, and there was an old canoe sitting there. I thought, I'd like to explore that. But I couldn't go in there. I wanted to go in there, but I just couldn't go in there. And I was turned around the opposite direction and taken over to this just dead, burnt out bit of bush. There'd been a bushfire through. It must have been a few acres of bush or something, a couple of hectares for you young guys. And I was led over to this burnt out area. Everything was just black. And you know what soot's like when it's had some rain on it. It's all... I didn't want to walk in there, but I was just guided in there like this. And I walk in probably about 50 metres and I come to the base of this big tree. And my gaze is just guided up the trunk of this tree and there's this big green patch of green out of all this death and dead stuff all around me. And this message comes straight in my head. You are dead to chasing money. I have a new life for you. And then I'm just out of the trance. I sort of come back to my senses. So I start walking back to my car and probably about 2 km away, I suppose, and start walking back and I get back. And as I'm walking back, I'm really disappointed I hadn't found any mushrooms. What's going on here? So I get within about 20 metres of my car and there's one mushroom. I thought, you little beauty. I bent down and picked it up and I've still got it here today. It was a golf ball. Sitting like that, it looked like a mushroom. And when I picked it up, this message came straight in and said, this is a memento for you to remember this day for the rest of your life. And I've got on the date, 19th of the 6th, 2005. So that sits on my desk and I look at it most days. But I still didn't get it. I told a few people about it and nobody could give me a real explanation. I didn't know. I knew what the message was, but I didn't really understand it. All I thought is you just work hard, try and become a better person, that sort of thing, you know, and that's what I was doing. I thought I was doing. Anyway, this horrible lifestyle continued, life continued for a couple more years. And then one day I'm reading that message again. Seek my kingdom first. Do my work first. Help the needy. Help the poor. Help the widows. I thought, So at the time I was going to the Baptist church just down here. And I knew, I didn't know many people there. I'd just sneak in and sneak out. I couldn't work. Some of the jobs I was doing was just pulling weeds for people in the church and painting gutters and stuff like that. And I knew they had this food program on the Monday, so I thought, well, I'll just do some volunteer work in the kitchen. I couldn't get work outside, it was just hopeless. But I knew they'd look after me in the kitchen, there wouldn't be any pressure and that sort of stuff. So I start in there and things were going well. I became, after about 4 or 5 months, I became the head cook there. We were preparing about 270 two-course meals a day for the locals. And it was really satisfying. So I'm starting to get a bit stronger. And so I start to get this feeling that I wouldn't mind going back to work. So whenever I felt like that, I'd just ring a company and I'd basically get a job straight away. So this time I'm thinking, well, okay, what do I want to do? And then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, after about another 3 or 4 months after, well, I'd been there about 8 months or something, just out of the blue, I get a phone call from Challenger TAFE in Rockingham. They said, come down for an interview. Thought, oh yeah, what's all this about? So I wandered down there. I'm sitting in the office with these two managers, and they're asking me about my career and all that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, don't ask me if I've ever suffered from depression. Don't ask me that. And they didn't. But they quizzed me for about 10 minutes. And then they said, the usual process is we interview everybody, and then we'll let you know, usually in about 3 weeks. But in this case, when can you start? I thought, oh, beauty. And I'm looking at these guys and I'm saying, I said, look, you might think this is crazy or weird or whatever, but what job have I applied for? And this guy just looks me in the eye, and he, real stern look on his face, and he says, the gardener's job. And I thought to myself, well, I'd been doing gardening. That's about all I could do at that stage, you know, but I was feeling a bit better. I wanted something better, but I had been doing that. The gardener's job, I was prepared to do it, you know, but then he just cracks up and he said, no, lecturer's job. And I just about fell off my chair. He said, yeah, you applied for it 2 years ago. I said, I didn't remember applying for it, but I'm absolutely certain there's no way I would have been able to do anything like that 2 years ago, the state I was in. Anyway, he said, well, we want you to start. And I said, look, I don't even know whether I can take the job on. I do this volunteer work on the Monday, cooking meals for the needy, and I'm not going to give that up. And he said, that's okay, we'll just hire you for the other 4 days. How's that? I said, great. He said, when can you start? I said, tomorrow. So I did. I started, and then as I'm driving home, I'm just on top of the world. I just couldn't believe what was going on here. What's all this about? And then the penny dropped. Because I wasn't going to give up my volunteer work, doing God's work, I get this cream job. Now, after a probation period, they gave me a permanent contract. They hadn't given out permanent contracts for years. They just gave it to me. But because I wasn't going to give up this volunteer work, a job, look, the money isn't the same as what it was on construction, but I'll guarantee you I've got way more now than what I ever had when I had in construction, because at the end of all those years, I had nothing. All that money just went to supporting me when I was sick. And here I am earning a lot less money. David preached about it a few weeks ago. You'll have more. So, seek my kingdom first. Do my work first. Help the needy. Focus on what I want. Take the focus off what I want and focus on how I can make other people's life better. What a slow learner I was, eh? I was told years earlier to stop putting money first, to think about what I could do for other people. And it just didn't make sense. The penny just didn't drop. This job comes with lots of holidays. I think Helen's a bit jealous of that. You know, all those years, those business people were just slowly just slipping that information in. God was just chipping away, chipping away. I reckon I must have been made out of titanium back there, and God blunted his chisel a few times, but I'm glad he's patient. Thank you for that, Lord. And what a privilege it is to do his work, you know. It really is. In a way, I've kind of gone back in time a little bit, because I'm now back in Bunbury Prison, and I'm teaching prisoners how to make rocket stoves. I know that if I commit all my plans to God, I know if those plans don't work, if I still commit them to God, but if the plans don't work, I'm not a failure. It just means that it's not God's plan or it's not His timing. So now life is just so exciting. Some of the stuff that we're putting into place now is just incredible. People around me that associate with me outside of a Christian group just are dumbfounded of what's happening. And all I got to say is just, God, if it's going to happen, it's Your glory. That's it. Thank you.